than 100 Venezuelans to El Salvador under the Alien Enemies Act, alleging they were members of the Tren de Aragua gang. For WPFW News in Washington and WBAI in New York, I'm Sue Goodwin.
Good afternoon. This is the Shai Rana Show with your host, Zain Al-Amin. This is a show that focuses on Arab culture and politics, and it airs every Wednesday for 1 hour at WPFWFM.org and WBAI-FM.
Giù nel Medio Oriente come un bufalo ferito, in furia il pirata americano.
Ma nei campi sulle dune sono armati anche i bambini, ogni donna impugna il suo fucile. No, non fan paura i carri armati di Israele, la tua terra tu la devi liberare. Abbiamo alzato rosso al verde, bianco e nero, stretta in pugno la bandiera, i colori. Della rossa Palestina accanto a quella del Vietnam.
Li chiamano banditi i giornali dei padroni, che chiamavano assassini partigiani.
Noi non crederemo ai bollettini israeliani, al tiranno Giordano traditore.
Quante volte ci hanno detto è finita in Palestina e ancora cantavamo la canzone.
Abbiamo alzato rosso, il verde, il bianco e il nero, stretto in pugno la bandiera, i colori di Al-Fatah. Abbiamo alzato la bandiera partigiana della rossa Palestina accanto a quella del Vietnam.
Al di là di questo mare c'è un popolo fratello, ogni lotta aiuta un'altra lotta.
Ogni colpo sparato sul nemico sionista, in Italia colpisce chi comanda.
Coi popoli in rivolta si muove oggi la storia. Rivoluzione fino alla vittoria.
Abbiamo alzato rosso, il verde, il bianco e il nero, stretta in pugno la bandiera, i colori di Al-Fatah. Abbiamo alzato la bandiera partigiana della rossa Palestina accanto a quella del Vietnam.
That was Rosa Palestina. Oh, this is a revolutionary song that was written and composed by an Italian anti-Zionist, and it's a pro-Palestinian song, obviously, written during the years of what was referred to as the years of lead in Italy in 1973, written by Umberto Fiorro and performed by a choir affiliated with the with the student movement, which was called Movimento Studentesco, if I pronounced it right, the student movement. And the occasion for playing such a song is the fact that Italy is joining the ranks in Naples. They're resisting genocide. They are doing all kinds of art performances in Naples. They are having concerts on behalf of Palestine. And they're also in certain areas, they are rejecting Israeli tourists, telling them that this is a genocide-free, the genocide-free hotel or restaurant. In this case, the most famous case that went viral last time, or rather last week, is the whole group of Zionists being ejected, Israelis being ejected from an Italian restaurant in northern Italy. So that's why I had to play that that song. We have a full show today, and we have lots of updates. There's been so much happening. And we're also going to have a very detailed update also from Anti-War. One of the things that I've been listening to is the Anti-War podcast on, well, rather broadcast on YouTube, because there's a lot of things to clarify with regard to Yemen, with regard to what's happening in Gaza, what's happening also in Africa right now, as the world becomes truly bipolar, no pun intended. And also, we're going to talk about also what's happening in Asia. But before we do that, we are in pledge drive time. And I believe I have with me Katia to help me pitch today.
Indeed you do.
If you're just tuning in, this is Zainal Amin with the Shai Nana Show, and I come at you every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. And report on what's happening in the Middle East. Of course, what I've been doing for the last year and a half is reporting on the greatest humanitarian crime of the 21st century, probably the most brazen humanitarian crime in history, period. And I stress the word brazen. And I say brazen because we didn't have, for other crimes that have happened of this scale, we didn't have daily dispatches and daily views of what is happening. And not only have we had been exposed daily to what's been happening in Gaza, but we've been exposed daily to how Israel is flaunting its power mocking the world basically, while slaughtering women and children and men, as we saw, where they had a gender reveal party last week, where they blew up a building to see if it'll blow up blue or pink. Believe it or not, this is the brutality that we have reached. This is the fall of the Western world. I don't exaggerate, but every human rights organization has been dismissed by the Western world, and we're witnessing the final stage of capitalism and the fall of the Western world. The problem is, as you know, when empires fall, they claw down as much as they can with them. And this is why this show and this station are more important than ever. As we form mutual accountability for our community, as we form a resistance to stop this madness, as we're seeing wins that this resistance is scoring, and we can hear from the show about what's happening in the upcoming days that you can join, that you can be part of in terms of taking down what's happening and stopping the starvation of Gazans that's been happening right now for weeks on end, where children are dying left and right before our eyes. If we have a modest goal, I believe, of $500, Katia?
That's right, Zane, a modest goal. And I just want to encourage people really quick. I know you got a full show, but they need to support this program. Zane El Amin has not only been out in the streets, right? Not only been a faculty member educating the young people, but bringing all of that to the air. And most importantly, keeping us up to date on what is happening with an active genocide. And this is the kind of reporting that needs to be across all media platforms. And so if you understand the importance of it, please go to the phone now, $500, 800-222-9739, WPFWFM.org. Zane has not missed a week. So we need you to be in solidarity with the program.
Just to add to what Katia said, I'm a volunteer here, and I've been a volunteer for over 6 years now at WPFW, because I know that this is the bullhorn for justice right here, this radio station. And I know that I'm allowed to say the truth plainly without censorship here. It's one of the few oases of truth and justice that exist in our society today, and especially under the Trump administration. If you want to support and fortify this oasis, please call right now. I know people have been, we just had the 48th anniversary of WPFW, and people approached me at the event, at the gala that we had at Greenbelt, and told me that how much they get, that some of them told me that they didn't even know anything about the Middle East before they started listening to the show, about the Arab world specifically, obviously. And so for those of you who are listening right now who approached me at the gala, if you can start the flow of donations, that would be fantastic. If you can prime the way for others to donate. And again, no donation is too small, no donation is too large. You can again call 202-588-9739, as Katia mentioned, and also you can actually go online. Some of you listen nationally or internationally online, and you can go online at WPFWFM.org and go to the donate button and scroll down to the Shai Wanana show and make a donation there. That would be greatly appreciated. And we have a way to do a donation by Cash App, I believe, Katia. We still have that capability.
We absolutely do, Zane. And also, to make it easier, if they go to the website, we have a PayPal option. So many people already have PayPal set up. You can use that option. And if you go to the donate now, we do see it. It comes up on the screen, so we'll be able to thank you immediately.
Excellent. Thank you, Katia. And we're going to proceed with the show. I'm going to be sharing what I've been doing in the past basically year and a half, is sharing what I'm listening to in terms of what's updating me on what's going on and what's clarifying what's happening in this world that's been set on fire, and been sharing these segments. But before I share the following segment from Anti-War, which really clarifies, it's going to address many things, like the fact that what is the surprise that Trump had promised the American people yesterday as he makes his way to Saudi Arabia? We know that part of it is a truce with Yemen, which he claims to be a victory, but it's actually victory for the Yemenis. We'll talk about that more later. And the other thing is that what is the deal? What's happening with Saudi Arabia that he's saying he's going to spring a big, in his words, like a good surprise, or a big surprise rather, on us today. So God help us whenever he says that, God help us. But anyway, there is some good news, but also obviously there is the constant bad news coming out of Gaza as the Israeli military gathers its forces to promising to clear all of Gaza now and confine the population to Rafah, to the southern tip of it, and push them out into Arab countries and starve them to death until they want to leave. They've openly mentioned that this is happening in the 21st century, where a nation supported by all of the Western governments, not necessarily the Western people, not necessarily all of the Americans, not necessarily all the Brits, not necessarily, definitely not all the Canadians, but by Western government, by Europe, by the European Union, but, and primarily by the United States, to massacre and kill as many people in Gaza. And that's they've all teamed up against it. And the only group of people teaming up against this and standing up against this are the Yemenis. And having said that, there's been two incidents in the past week. One where the Truman battleship, which is parked in the Arabian Sea, had to swerve to avoid a missile coming from Yemen when they thought that they were in the clear at 900 kilometers away. And as it swerved, it lost one of its fighter planes. And it swerved, by the way, because if this missile hit, there were dozens of air fighter planes that were parked in that in the storage kind of area, which wouldn't they wouldn't have been able to scramble. It would have sunk with all of those. I think that's that kind of incident ties with the fact that Trump, however he's spinning this, has called uncle in this conflict, because they've been bombarding Yemen on daily basis. They've had probably over 800 sorties on Yemen, mostly civilian targets, which they keep claiming, as they do when they bomb Lebanon, claiming that it is these are military targets and they're totally civilian targets, including a refugee center for immigrants. Another thing that that wasn't the only very expensive plane that they lost, but there was another plane that they lost where the pilot had to jump out. And of course, we don't know all the details, because one of the stories that's coming out in mainstream media is the Trump administration is hiding the figures of the injured and killed in this Yemeni adventure. And I'm talking about American soldiers, of course, that who, you know, the these are working class people that are being used as cannon fodder, and there's no need to be accountable to them. So they're not reporting these figures. So we don't know the reason why these two planes, there has been no official beyond like telling us that an aircraft carrier had to swerve very in a movement that an aircraft carrier should not make to avoid something. And the other plane is completely mysterious. Beyond that, we've had, in terms of on the tariff front, we're seeing a consolidation of Asian countries, such as Vietnam, South Korea, China and Japan, and three other countries in Asia that are, well, including, of course, Cambodia, consolidating and talking about a change in currency and trade deals in reaction, so that they don't have to depend on trade with the United States, which has obviously betrayed them. Even betraying, the surprising thing was attacking Japan. And, you know, Toyota is the biggest car manufacturer in terms of cars coming into the United States. Of course, alienating this. So there's a kind of a consolidation of these countries that is happening as a reaction to that. The other thing that is happening is the another consolidation that's happening that is really, I'm hoping that it will succeed. And it's what's happening in Burkina Faso, Niger and Mali, and especially Burkina Faso, where finally a leader rises and says, why have we, why is Africa being called a poor country when we're very wealthy? And of course, he knows that the answer is the fact that they're being robbed, and therefore he's pushing the colonial forces, including the French, out of Burkina Faso, and also saying we're going to mine our own gold and benefit from our own resources rather than giving them to multinational companies. Of course, there's been an attempted coup there that is being fed by, of course, Western powers, but it didn't succeed. And so these countries are basically opting out of multinational theft by Western countries and turning inwards. And one of the immediate benefits of doing that, like in Burkina Faso, there are school fees on students, believe it or not, school fees that were probably left over from structural adjustment programs that the World Bank had imposed on many African countries. That's one of the things they always do. These school fees has been eliminated, and now education, both from kindergarten to college, is all free in Burkina Faso. Immediate benefits that are happening. Great hope for the decolonization of the globe, where decolonization from Western powers, from the European Union and the United States, that have that have been sucking all the resources out of Africa and Asia. So that's something to watch. And that's one of the most important developments in the past week. There is divestment campaigns that are winning, such as what's happening at San Francisco universities. That these are divestments from the military industrial complex, and specifically divestment from Israel and from genocide. These are wins, and of course there are the legal wins that are happening, for example, in Chicago, where there's been a win against the University of Chicago, which tried to penalize its students. The lawyers there had won their case, and we're hoping that it would spread elsewhere, such as we've seen the big win also that happened in the courts of Vermont, where a Palestinian student was taken from Colombia and put under arrest and has been released, and he's still he's still defiant as ever. So we're having a slew of legal wins now, and of course there's been today the legal win, or yesterday rather, the legal win where judges have said that the Trump administration doesn't have the right to use this archaic law from from centuries ago to basically abduct Venezuelans and take them to El Salvador. So that's another in Chicago and Vermont, we're having these wins, and in other places, of course. So there are things to build on. One big piece of news is there's been wildfires in Israel, which are ironically, or rather poetically, have burned the pine trees that have been planted by a fund, by a Zionist fund, to basically erase any features of the 200 and some villages that had been ethnically cleansed in 1948 in the Nakba, when Zionists came in and kicked out the Palestinians out of their native land. And they planted these trees, which are not native to the, they removed the existing plants and trees and agriculture and planted these pine trees, which an environmentalist warned 3 or 4 years ago. I was attending a lecture where an environmentalist was warning about this, that when you plant these, because of the planting of these trees that are not native, and especially these pine trees, and especially in an area that's going to be so subjected to global warming, both the Middle East and Africa are going to be some of the hardest hit and the first hit in the worst way, that you're basically turning these trees into tinder for the fire. And of course, we saw the fire spread for over 8 hours while winds helped it. And there's some poetic justice in that, in the sense that the Zionists have always claimed that they made the desert bloom. Actually, they made the bloom desert, and that's what's happening right now. There was already plenty of bloom. The Palestinians were already adept farmers, and they already had olive trees and grapes and everything that they need, and they did not need these trees that are planted by Europeans, that are brought in from Europe and other places from outside. And also, I just wanted to say that for me, watching these wildfires, I see karma totally, because during the invasion of Lebanon, the Israelis, where they attempted with 50,000 troops to advance into Lebanon, and they could not advance more than 1 kilometer. They resorted to basically using a catapult to throw fireballs into agricultural areas in South Lebanon. And they were laughing about it and filmed themselves. And the point was to start wildfires there. And that's why I think this is karmic justice, what happened with these wildfires that have gone, you know, images of those have gone viral. And lastly, we'll hear also in this upcoming segment about more details about this war that just started between India and Pakistan, with India attacking Pakistan and Kashmir. And we'll hear about the details from that from Anti-War. All of those updates will be there. But before I go into the segment, I just wanted to make another pitch one more time, and then I'll let you listen to this whole very informative segment that's going to clarify all to you about what's happening with the Trump trip to Saudi Arabia, what's happening between Trump and Yemen, and what's happening in terms of India and Pakistan. If this is the kind, I just gave you the highlights of everything that I'm sure is important to listeners of WPFW. And I just want to urge you to help us make our goal of $500 before the hour is over by calling 202-588-9739. And you can also go online and make a donation online through PayPal, as Katia mentioned earlier. And also you can click on the donate button on our website at wpfwfm.org. That's wpfwfm.org. And go to the donate button and make a donation there, or make a donation on the website through PayPal. That would be, I'll give you the number one more time and we'll move on to that segment. That's 202-588-9739. So let's listen now to this very rich segment, that an update on what's happening basically detailing most of what I've talked about now by the antiwar.com.
Hey, this is Dave DeCamp from antiwar.com. This is anti-war news for Wednesday, May 7th, 2025. All right, so we have some good news to discuss today for a change. President Trump announced that the U.S. will stop bombing Yemen, and hopefully that this is something that holds. But first, we have to talk about the very concerning news. India has fired missiles into Pakistan. So this is the first story at the top of antiwar.com today. India has fired missiles into Pakistan and Pakistan-administered Kashmir, marking a major escalation between the two nuclear-armed powers. The attack came amid tensions over the April 22nd terrorist attack near the Pahalgam area of Indian-administered Kashmir, which killed 26 people. All but one of the victims were Indian tourists. So India blamed the massacre on a group called the Resistance Front and accused Pakistan of supporting the attack, which Islamabad has strongly denied. So early Wednesday morning, New Delhi time, India announced that its forces had struck 9 locations in Pakistan and the Pakistan side of the disputed Kashmir region. Islamabad confirmed attacks on 5 locations, 2 in Pakistan's Punjab province and 3 in Kashmir, including Muzaffarabad, which is the capital of Pakistan-administered Kashmir. Pakistan officials have said at least 8 people were killed by the Indian strikes. According to AP, one official said a missile struck a mosque in the city of Bahawalpur in Punjab and killed a child. India claimed that it only struck known terror camps and that the attack had been measured and responsible and designed to be non-escalatory. But the missile strikes are the most significant Indian attacks on Pakistani territory in decades. Back in 2019, so 6 years ago, India launched airstrikes on an alleged training camp in Balakot, Pakistan, but that attack only targeted one location. It was much more limited than this. So this is a very big deal, and I think it's important to understand, you know, in 1998, India and Pakistan both declared that they were nuclear-armed states, that they had a nuclear stockpile, that they had nuclear weapons. Now, they were testing, I know India tested did a nuclear test in the 70s, so they probably had the weapons for much longer before then. But basically, after 1998, you know, it was official that you have 2 nuclear-armed powers here. They fought a war in Kashmir in 99. You know, I believe it was only a few hundred casualties. Wasn't major, but it was some pretty serious fighting. So basically, this appears to be the most significant Indian military action against Pakistan since that 99 war. So again, we're talking about 2 nuclear armed states here. It's very concerning. And Islamabad is vowing that it will respond and has claimed that its forces shot down 5 Indian fighter jets. Pakistan's information minister said, quote, "We were fully prepared, which is why India received an immediate and firm response," end quote. I've seen unconfirmed reports about Pakistani like strikes on India, but all I've seen Pakistan claim is that they shot down planes. Pakistani officials also said India has not provided any evidence for its allegations that Islamabad was involved in the Pahalgam terrorist attack. In response to the news of the Indian attack, President Trump said the violence was a shame and that he hoped it would end quickly. He said, quote, "I guess people knew something was going to happen based on a little bit of the past. They've been fighting for a long time. I hope it ends very quickly," end quote. Indian officials have said they briefed Secretary of State Marco Rubio about the attack. Pakistani sources also reported that Rubio spoke with Pakistan's National Security Advisor. Any conflict between India and Pakistan always risks nuclear escalation, of course, as I said. According to the Arms Control Association, Pakistan is believed to have about 170 nuclear weapons, and India has an estimated arsenal of 164 warheads. So hopefully the U.S., you know, the position that the U.S. takes here is to be neutral and to just call for de-escalation. You know, I know that the U.S. has moved closer to India in recent years militarily. They see them as a big ally against China, but hopefully they have the sense to try to cool this thing down instead of like picking a side. I mean, I would be very surprised if the U.S. openly backed India against Pakistan, you know, or something like that, because the Pakistani government is essentially controlled by the U.S. anyway. So, you know, this is a part of the world I don't really follow. I'm not too familiar with. And, you know, it's something I was meaning to pay more attention to after this terrorist attack. But with everything else going on, I really didn't follow it closely enough. But now things are really, really popping off here. And I mean, it's not good. And the next one here. So we just have Al Jazeera's live updates, because while we're sleeping, I'm sure a lot more is going to happen between India and Pakistan. So these are the live updates. U.S. calling for restraint. Pakistan accusing India of unprovoked blatant act of war. So tensions are still very high. Oh, so now it looks like there was some Pakistani artillery fire. I'm not sure. Okay, so this is Pakistani artillery fire across the line of control in Kashmir. And India is saying that 3 civilians were killed by that. Again, that is in Kashmir. And so that's confirmed now that there were the artillery shelling across the line of control there. All right. So hopefully things cool down. You know, I mean, it could only go in a bad direction. And, you know, the thing with Pakistan, I mean, their population is significantly smaller than India. So their nuclear weapons are like a deterrent. You know, if they face like a real Indian invasion or something, I think it would be very likely that they would use their nuclear weapons. All right, so the next one here, to get into the good news or potentially good news here, Trump says the U.S. will stop bombing Yemen. So President Trump said on Tuesday that the U.S. will stop bombing Yemen, claiming that the Houthis, officially known as Ansar Allah, said they would not be blowing up ships anymore. The president said that the Houthis said they don't want to fight anymore and that the U.S. will honor that. He said, quote, "We will stop the bombings. They have capitulated. We will take their word and they will not be blowing up ships anymore. And that's the purpose of what we were doing," end quote. So Trump says that they capitulated, but it really actually looks like the U.S. capitulated or ultimately gave up trying to get the Houthis to stop attacking Israel. Mohammed al-Bukaiti, a member of Ansar Allah's political bureau, said in a statement after Trump's announcement that the Houthis will stop attacks on U.S. assets in the region if the U.S. stops bombing Yemen, but vowed that operations against Israel will continue until there's a ceasefire in Gaza and an end to the blockade on the Palestinian territory. Al-Bukaiti said in a post on X, quote, "Our military operations in support of Gaza will not cease until the aggression against Gaza stops and the blockade on its residents is lifted, allowing the entry of food, medicine, and fuel. As for our attacks on the U.S., they fall within the context of the right to self-defense. If it halts its attacks on us, we will halt our attacks on it. This position also applies to Britain," end quote, because the U.K. recently joined the U.S. in bombing Yemen. So if this sounds familiar, it's because this same official made the same offer to the U.S. in an interview with DropSite News that was published on April 10th, which I covered a lot and always mentioned in my coverage of the U.S. bombing campaign in Yemen, because he had Trump, Hegseth, saying all the Houthis have to do is stop attacking U.S. ships and we'll stop bombing them. Well, they're saying that they're going to stop if you stop bombing them, and they seem to ignore that offer. But now for... whatever reason, I mean, I think, you know, there's certainly, it's clear that the bombing campaign did not deter the Houthis from attacking Israel, but the U.S. is deciding to stop for now. So Mahdi al-Mashat, the head of Ansar Allah's Supreme Political Council, also vowed that attacks on Israel will continue, warning Israelis to, quote, "remain in shelters because their government will not be able to protect them," end quote. Al-Mashat also said that the Houthis, quote, "indirectly informed the Americans that continued escalation will affect the criminal Trump's visit to the region," end quote. And then Middle East Eye reported that Saudi Arabia pressed Trump to end the bombing campaign in Yemen before his visit to the kingdom, before his visit to Saudi Arabia, which will begin on May 13th. So this is kind of interesting. You have a top Houthi official saying, "We told the Americans that continued escalation will affect Trump's trip to the region," and the Saudis pressing Trump to end the bombing campaign. I mean, it sounds like they're potentially afraid of the Houthis hitting Saudi Arabia while Trump is there. They have been very successful in missile and drone attacks on Saudi oil infrastructure during the war from 2015 to 2022. So I think that that could be a potential reason behind this. So Trump said the U.S. would stop bombing Yemen effective immediately. A Pentagon official told CNN that the U.S. military had been given a stand-down order to stop strikes on Yemen on Monday night, although U.S. airstrikes were reported in the country early Tuesday morning Yemen time. I know U.S. Central Command, I think they're still based in, you know, their operations are based in Florida. So, you know, Monday night for them would be early Tuesday in Yemen. But it looked like there were some U.S. airstrikes very, very early Tuesday morning in Yemen. And Israel also launched heavy airstrikes against the Sana'a International Airport. They really bombed Yemen on Tuesday as well. So we'll get more into that in another story. According to the CNN report, Trump's Middle East envoy, Steve Witkoff, worked over the past week to reach a ceasefire with the Houthis in talks facilitated by Oman. So Witkoff apparently was involved in this effort, and this appeared to be confirmed by Oman. Oman's foreign ministry said that Muscat was involved in the talks and released a statement on the ceasefire deal. The ministry said, quote, "In the future, neither side will target the other, including American vessels in the Red Sea, in the Bab al-Mandab Strait, ensuring freedom of navigation and the smooth flow of international commercial shipping," end quote. So Oman is saying that, you know, it makes it sound like the deal is the Houthis won't target the U.S. ships and the U.S. won't bomb Yemen, which again was what was on the table basically the whole time. And so the Houthis, they stopped their attacks on Israel and on Red Sea shipping when the short-lived Gaza ceasefire went into effect on January 19th. After Israel violated the deal by imposing a total blockade on Gaza, the Houthis announced that they would reimpose their blockade on Israeli shipping. Just important to understand here that it was in response to that announcement, to the Houthis saying they were going to reimpose the blockade, that the U.S. started bombing Yemen again. It was before any actual attacks were launched. And the U.S. launched over 1,000 strikes on Yemen in a month and a half and killed over 200 civilians. Some really, really brutal attacks. All right, so the next one here. Second U.S. Navy jet lost at sea from the USS Truman aircraft carrier. So this is an article from CNN. I just saw this right before I was about to start recording. So we just threw it up on the page. So another F-A-18 Super Hornet fighter jet from the USS Harry Truman aircraft carrier has been lost at sea. Sorry, I'm stumbling over my words here. Has been lost in the Red Sea, the second jet lost from the carrier in just over a week. It's not entirely clear what happened yet as the investigation is ongoing, but two of the people said there was some kind of arrestment failure as the jet was trying to land on the carrier and the pilot and weapons systems officer had to eject. No sign that there was any kind of attack happening at this point. They were both recovered by a rescue helicopter and are both alive, but they suffered minor injuries, one of the people said. The jet crashed into the sea and has not been recovered, so that's another $60 or $70 million fighter jet lost in the Red Sea. Separately, the Houthis took a shot at the Truman on Tuesday. Four of CNN sources said, despite President Trump announcing an apparent ceasefire with the group hours earlier, it's not clear whether the two incidents are related. So there's some reports that the Houthis took a shot at the aircraft carrier around the same time. So I guess maybe that is an indication it could be an attack. All right, so the next one here, Israeli airstrikes pound Yemen for second day and target the Sana'a airport. So the Israeli military launched heavy airstrikes on Yemen for the second day on Tuesday, targeting the Sana'a International Airport and other infrastructure in the capital. According to Yemeni media, at least three people were killed and 38 were wounded in the attacks, which targeted the airport, a cement factory, and power plants. The IDF said the strikes on the airport targeted runways, aircraft, and infrastructure, and claimed the airport was totally disabled. The IDF claimed that the attacks on the cement factory constituted a blow to the Houthis' economy and its military buildup. The Israeli strikes that hit Yemen on Monday targeted Hodeidah, the port, and really did a lot of damage to it, and another cement factory over there. And according to Sabah, those attacks killed at least four people and wounded 39. So the Monday attacks killed four, and Tuesday killed three, according to the latest reports. So the Israeli attacks on Yemen came after the Houthis successfully struck the Ben Gurion airport in a missile attack. And before that strike, the Trump administration had asked Israel, don't worry about attacking Yemen, we'll take care of it. So, I mean, there's a chance here that there's some kind of coordination between the U.S. and Israel. I think there's been reports.
So we just heard from antiwar.com report on what's happening in Yemen, and also earlier in relationship to Saudi Arabia, and also what's developing between India and Pakistan, this war between two nuclear powers that is developing right now. Hopefully it'll subside, but the whole situation looks precarious. And one thing I wanted to tell you is that the reason we are talking about Pakistan, and because this is a show that focuses on the Arab world, and Pakistan and India obviously are not part of the Arab world, but of course we live in a global community. But more importantly, we've been saying for the last year and a half that that Gaza, as you call it, is actually a litmus test for global justice. And what's happening with countries like India is that they were seeing if anybody's going to stop the Israelis from slaughtering Palestinians, from committing genocide, from bombing schools, from bombing hospitals, from killing hundreds of journalists. And when they see that nothing was done to stop it, they're going to do the same. And that's what they're doing. What they did, what India did, and we can argue about who started the conflict, but what India did is actually claim that they hit military targets, which what Israel has been saying every time they kill civilians. But in reality, they all targets were civilian and all the casualties were civilian. And so that's why what Israel has done is has destroyed the morality of the world, basically among governments. Not that they were moral by any degree, but that's how it relates. That's what it's opened up. What's happening right now domestically in the United States is a boomerang. The fact that we have this fascism that's here, this is a boomerang. This is a return. This is the chickens coming home to roost, because we let our government kill children, kill women, kill innocent people, and that's what's opened up hell's gates to the world by letting this go. Go ahead, Katia.
I just want to jump in because you're absolutely right. It's funny, right before I got on with you, I really had a moment where I got so angry hearing about India bombing Pakistan, but tracing it back, just as you did, to the fact that these courts, the governments, allowed Israel to do this with impunity. And please, people listening, I just want you to be clear. When we say Israel, we mean the government. We are not talking about the Jewish people. We are talking about the government that has been acting with criminal impunity. And now the government of India is acting with criminal impunity and using the same talking points, the same narrative. And this will spread and spread and spread. And we will see not only throughout the global South, because we see what's happening here, the global North as well. We will all be suffering by this kind of outlaw violence that we're seeing. And so, again, I just want to tie it all back to Zane and the excellent reporting that what you brought to us, that news service was excellent in the reporting, bringing to light a lot of things we're not seeing or hearing in any kind of mainstream media, if you will, or public media. This is why Shaiwanana Mint and Tea in the Arabic Translation is so very important to us, and you must support it. We want to thank Muiza Muntali out of Kensington, Maryland, our esteemed colleague and friend. He says, Aluta continua. We need $475 to go. Let's make this goal for Zane, for all of the great work, all of the information and enlightenment, so we know how to move. We know how to hold people accountable. That is what is happening. Governments accountable. They need to be held accountable. And Shaiwanana gives you the tools to do it. 800-222-9739, WPFWFM.org. Only $475 to go. Zane, we can get someone or two people to become sustaining members, new listeners who will become sustaining members right now and make or exceed this goal. 800-222-9739 or WPFWFM.org are the ways to connect.
Yes, also when we say, not only when we say Israel, we don't mean the Jewish people, but when we say the United States, we don't mean the American people.
Because absolutely. People,
and when we say the European Union, we don't mean the European people. Because as we've seen, the polls, Katia, have shown where the opinion polls that have been showing up don't see this as genocide, what's happening in Gaza, and are opposed to it. Our problem is not that there isn't enough good people, it's that there's too many quiet people as this fascism spreads, as this genocide spreads. And in Europe, you know, when I went to England, they have these massive demonstrations every week in the capitals, and their politicians are just as deaf to the people as they are in the United States. Mm-hmm. And the polls again reflect that. Even as we see the rise of fascism in the Western world, we see more and more people being aware being aware of what's going on and fighting back.
Absolutely. And you know, this is something, what is the quote? Evil flourishes when good people do nothing. And one thing that you can do, you may not be able to get in the streets. We obviously, clearly, our voices are not stopping the government from doing whatever it's going to do. But one thing you can do is ensure that we have a free and independent media that can at least report the truth. I just read, when you talk about you mentioned Burkina Faso. I just read an article that was now ripping Ibrahim Traoré for being for the digital messiah status that AI and these other fake news sites are giving him. And of course, I did a deeper dive to look to see who owned this media outlet called Africa Report. And it's a Frenchman. A Frenchman based in Paris. Of course, they're going to rip him. This is the thing, you all. You have to not only read or listen, you have to check the source. And what you know about WPFW, the source, Zane is bringing you the voices of people who have done the deep dive, who are bringing you the truth, who are on the ground. And that is invaluable. And so we ask you to support it right now. 800-222-9739, WPFWFM.org, $475 to go. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Zane, but I just had to share that because people have to pay attention to where they get their news from. It's not enough that you read an article about Burkina Faso. Find out who is this publisher, who owns it, what is their perspective, and then you'll get the truth. You'll understand what's being said to you. And with WPFW, there is no deep, I mean, you can make it, you can take a deep dive, you can go back and get to the source that Zane played for you this afternoon and hear it for yourself. You don't have to trust our words. There are experts out there that you can go to, and Zane is actually an expert, a scholar in this area. And he brings it to the air. So please support now. 800-222-9739, $475 to go. We can do this together, folks. We still have time.
And we have a couple of minutes left for you to make a donation at 800-222-9739. And, you know, as Katia mentioned, you know, we have, I've been here in this city and for a quarter of a century, and I've watched it change dramatically. And what this show does is is tie the local issue. Why is it, like Martin Luther King says, you know, when the bombs that are dropped on Vietnam fall on us here at home? This is exactly the show that does, that connects the two, the resources that are being wasted on the massacre of people for the sake of the Elon Musk of the world. This is the connection that we make here. And we have our local newspaper, probably the most sold in the second to New York Times only, the Washington Post, whose slogan is "Democracy dies in the dark." Well, Washington Post has died in the dark already because it has eclipsed the truth and has hidden the truth from us. And this is the place here where the truth will never die. Again, in this last second, 800-222-9739. Thank you. We'll see you next Wednesday.
For WPFW News in Washington and WBAI in New York, I'm Sue Goodwin. Here are some headlines. World leaders and the United Nations are calling on Pakistan and India to show restraint after India fired missiles into Pakistan early today in the worst fighting in more than two decades between the nuclear-armed nations. India said that its missiles struck nine sites in Pakistan's densely populated Punjab province and on Pakistan's side of the disputed Kashmir region, in what India said was retaliation for an attack that killed 26 civilians in the India-controlled part of Kashmir last month. Pakistan denied any involvement in the April attack. India said its attack today targeted what it called known terror camps, but Pakistani officials said none of the sites were militant camps, and that 26 civilians were killed. Pakistan said among those killed were two teenagers and a woman and child at a mosque. Pakistan's National Security Council said the armed forces have been authorized to undertake retaliation at a time, place, and manner of its choosing to avenge the Indian military strikes. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres said the world cannot afford a military confrontation between India and Pakistan. China, which borders the two countries, urged both sides to, quote, act in the larger interest of peace and stability, close quote, and the U.S. State Department said Secretary of State Marco Rubio spoke to the national security advisors of both nations, urging, quote, both to keep lines of communication open and avoid escalation. In other news, a federal judge yesterday barred the Trump administration from using the Alien Enemies Act to deport Venezuelan immigrants without a hearing, saying the White House failed to prove the existence of an invasion or other conflict that would justify invoking the centuries-old law. Judge Hallerstein is among several judges who have ruled the administration's use of the act is based on an illegal interpretation of the law and that President Trump overstepped his authority. The Trump administration has sent more than 100 Venezuelans to El Salvador under the Alien Enemies Act while alleging they were members of the Tren de Aragua gang. In more news, in her first appearance before congressional lawmakers since being confirmed, Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem yesterday reiterated President Trump's plans to abolish the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Trump discussed eliminating FEMA in the wake of recent natural disasters in California and North Carolina. Trump toured flood damage in North Carolina in January, before continuing on to Los Angeles, where he said, quote, "I say you don't need FEMA. You need a good state government," close quote. And the conclave to elect a new pope to succeed Pope Francis is now underway at the Vatican. 133 cardinal electors from all over the